I'll invite you this morning to turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 35. Now, what's typical for us on any given Lord's Day, when we open up the Word of God, is we go to a particular text and we explore that particular text and just kind of park there. I'm going to deviate from that this morning, and we're going to look at a number of different texts, including this one in the book of Acts. And I've entitled this message simply, The Essence of Giving. The Essence of Giving. Acts 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, outside of the Gospels, this is the only recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament. He said this, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, we're going to look at the subject of giving this morning. And Lord, I pray that in a very unique, special way that you would take your word and speak to us. Lord, we may say, oh yeah, I know what giving's all about. I've heard that before. But God, I ask that you would truly speak to us. Help us to understand what you desire from us in the realm of giving. Lord, I realize I'm just an inept, incapable communicator of your truth. But Lord, would you just take your word that's so powerful, and would you just take it in and speak to us today? I pray this in your wonderful and precious name. Amen. I heard about a mom who, on the way to church, gave her daughter a quarter and a dollar. And she said, you can put in the offering whichever one you like. Wanted to kind of see what she would do with it. So on the way out after church, she just simply asked her daughter, she said, hey, which one did you put in the offering plate? The daughter looked a little sheepish, but she said, well, you see, I was going to put in the dollar. But when the pastor said that God wants us to be a cheerful giver, I knew that I would be more cheerful if I put in the quarter. So I put in the quarter and I kept the dollar. Now, we might expect that from a child, right? But you think maybe, just maybe, just maybe that reflects our attitude about giving sometimes? I'll give God something. Yeah, I'd feel bad if I didn't give anything. I'll give him something, but I'll give him just kind of a tip. I'll give him a token. I'll give him a pittance just to soothe my conscience. Let's, from the Word of God this morning, see what God says about giving. Let's notice, first of all, who's the originator of giving? Who initiated the concept of giving? And the answer would be God. A little louder. God. God is the initiator. God is the originator of giving. This is a text that we may explore a little bit more next week, but James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect or complete gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And of course, John 3 and verse 16, a well-known passage by all of us, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave his only begotten Son, his unique, one-of-a-kind Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, would not go to hell, but would have everlasting life. God gave supremely. He gave in giving his only Son. This is reiterated in Romans 8 and verse 32, where Paul writes, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God has given abundantly. God has given freely. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 45, it says, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." And sometimes this is referred to as the common grace of God that he gives. He gives abundantly. He gives in a good, gracious, merciful fashion, both to believers and unbelievers. But as his children, we are abundant recipients of his goodness, of his mercy and his grace. And God, our Father, is the originator of giving. He's the supreme example of giving. We want to know what giving looks like. We look to God and see how he has given to us so freely, so abundantly. When we come to us, I think it merits the question, what are we to give? What does God want us to give? Is it just money or is it more than that? What are we to give to God? I think we find the answer in part in 2 Corinthians, where it says, "And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." God wants us. We're to give Him ourselves. We're to give Him our lives. And that's what the team sang about just a moment ago. It demands our life, our soul, our all. We consider what God has done for us. We're going to explore this 2 Corinthians passage just a little bit more later in the message. But what Paul is saying here is that they participated in an offering for the church at Jerusalem. And he says, hey, this they did. They freely and they willingly gave, not as we had hoped. Now, we could read that one of two ways. You know, we could interpret that Paul is saying, well, they gave, not as we had hoped they would give, but, you know, they gave. But that's not what Paul is saying here at all. He's saying they super abundantly exceeded our expectations. Boy, did they give. And they gave, and they gave, and they gave. But he says this, not only did they give monetarily, but first, not in time or sequence, but as a matter of priority. Their first and foremost priority was that they gave themselves to God. They said, God, you've got us. You've got our hearts. You've got our lives. You've got our desires. You've got our will. You've got me. And they gave that first. And then what flowed out of that was a giving of monetary resources to help the church at Jerusalem. The Macedonians gave first of themselves. You know, if we're giving to God without Him having us, it's really just like a token to God. And it's really, it doesn't mean a whole lot. It really doesn't. You know, if it really boils down to it, God wants you as a believer, as His child. He wants you and He wants me. And in your mind, you may say, wow, that's asking a lot. That's really asking a lot, but it's not asking too much. It's not asking too much at all, for we find in Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul says, I beg you, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now note this last phrase, which is what? Your reasonable, your logical service. As Aaron mentioned just a moment ago, when we think about, when we contemplate, when we view the cross, when we survey the cross, and we really begin to understand what Jesus has done for us, when we really begin to understand that I deserve to be damned to hell forever because of my sin, and we understand that because of Christ, when I've come to Him and I've trusted in Him and believed in Him alone for eternal salvation, that my sins have been completely and totally forgiven, that I'm looked at and viewed at by God through Christ as being righteous, that we understand that it's reasonable, it's logical it makes sense for us to say, God, here I am. You take me. You use me. I ask you this morning, what are you living your life for? Be honest this morning. What are you living your life for? Is your life wrapped up in the here and the now and the temporal? Or do you, like we have been admonished in the book of 2 Corinthians even this morning, in other places of Scripture, is your vantage point, is your perspective, is your viewpoint, I'm living for eternity. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That should be our thinking. That should be our heart. That should be our mentality of God. Here's my life. I just want to serve you. Whatever time I have on this earth, and none of us knows how long we have on this earth. We don't know when our last breath will occur. Honestly, we don't know when Jesus Christ will return, and it could be today. But as long as we are on this planet, is your heart, is my heart, about serving God? Now, in a church like ours, language like that, talk like that, is pretty norm. I'm not rattling anybody by saying those kinds of things, but I ask you this morning, can you get beyond the phraseology and really evaluate your own heart and say, where am I? Am I living for God? Does He have me? Am I making a difference in this world by God's grace for His kingdom? Where's my priorities? God wants us. And we should be giving our lives. We should be giving Him everything. We say, God, the only reason I exist on this planet is to serve You and to bring You glory. That's why I'm here. If I'm not accomplishing those, really I'm not accomplishing anything. May that be what we give to God, that we're giving Him ourselves. And then, secondly, we need to be giving God praise. Giving God praise. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 57 and verse 7. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed, or it's steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer this sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, every Lord's Day, in our worship services, we give thanks and we give praise to our God. How about the rest of the week? How about your life as a whole? Is it a life of praise? Is it habitual for you just to go throughout your day and say, God, thank you. God, I praise you. You know, it was just a mundane thing. It really was. But one day this past week, I had an occasion to go to Meijer to grab something real quick. And I was just walking down the aisle in Meijer, just kind of thinking and contemplating, talking to the Lord a little bit. And I was completely overcome with the goodness of God. And I just started rattling around in my head how good God had been to me. And I was just walking down the aisle. There was nobody around. And I was just saying, God, thank you. God, I praise you. God, you are so abundantly good to me. And that's how our life should be. That's how my life and your life should be. That just as a way of life, that we're giving praise, we're giving honor, we're giving glory to our God. It's a sacrifice that is acceptable to Him. It's what we should be giving to Him. And then thirdly, we should be giving of our resources, which would certainly include our money. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 38, we find this verse in the context of Jesus talking really to believers and talking about how we should love others, particularly our enemies, that we should be compassionate towards others, we should be non-judgmental towards others, and that we should be giving towards others. So that's the context of this verse. But within that context, I think there's some great application about giving. For Luke 6:38 says, give. And by the way, that's an imperative. It's a command. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The word give is really an all-encompassing, broad range of giving that we are to give to God. And certainly that would include our resources, and that would include money in giving it to God. And in the text it says, it shall be given unto you. God blesses when we faithfully give. Amen? Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Do we give to get? Should that be our motive? No. Now, you hear a lot about that in our culture today, in religious circles. Plant a seed. Give $10. God will give you $100. You know, plant $100. God will give you $1,000. Give $10,000 and God will give you $100,000. We hear a lot of that kind of talk in religious circles. And our motivation should never be that we give to get. But the reality is, God blesses those who give and give faithfully. Generous giving will result in generous receiving. One commentator I read said it this way: God will be no man's debtor. No matter how much we give him, he gives us more. And that's true. God blesses when we give. Well, in the context of Luke 6:38, it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The picture is that of an ancient market where you would go to buy grain. And the seller of grain would use some type of measuring instrument. He would fill it about 3/4 full and give it a good shake. He then would fill it the rest of the way and give it another good shake. He would press it down and then pour in a little bit more to where it was like a cone shape on top. And literally you couldn't get one more kernel in that measuring instrument. He's a good businessman. That's exactly what he would do. It's shaken. It's pressed down. It's, you couldn't get any more in. And then in the text it says, it's running over. Shall men give into your bosom? You know, God's goodness often passes through other people, but ultimately who is the giver? It's God, isn't it? God is the giver. God is the one whom all gifts come from and originate through. And when he says that it's given to your bosom, the idea is this, that in the ancient market, one would often come and they would have a kind of a long flowing robe and there would be different folds and they would just kind of put out one of those folds and the proprietor would just pour the grain into that fold and that's how they would carry it home. That's the picture of that particular verse. That men shall give unto your bosom, ultimately God. And we find this exact principle in another place in Scripture, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. Paul says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly also, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That bountiful giving results in bountiful receiving, and the opposite is true as well. And then in the text that we looked at the outset of the message this morning, Acts 20 and verse 35, that Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, we're going into a time of year and a season where we hear a lot about that. But you know, that should be a way of life. That should be a thinking pattern that we as believers have continually, and we see it as it is more blessed to give. It's a blessing to give than to receive. So, what should we give? We should certainly give ourselves. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. Why? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? God's. Sometimes you'll hear the thinking, well, you know, this is my body, I can do what I want with it. As a believer, that's just not true. That's not biblical right thinking. Your body and everything about you belongs to God. And there needs to be a willingness in our spirit just to say, God, I'm yours. So God wants us. God wants our praise. And God wants our resources. We need to be giving to Him. Why should we give? Not just what should we give, but why should we give? Well, one aspect of giving is certainly to worship. To worship our God. Deuteronomy 12, 5 through 6 says this, "But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation shall ye seek, and thither shalt thou come. And thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and your heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks." Now, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't see anybody coming in this morning with animals. You know, I don't see any animals around. You know, I don't smell any this morning. Aren't you thankful for that, honestly? You know, that we're under the new covenant and not the old covenant. I mean, wow, what a blessing. And so the formula has changed, but the principles are the same. There's a designated place that we are to gather. We are to gather as God's people to worship Him and to give to Him as part of our worship. Psalm 96, 7 and 8. "Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord. Give Him glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name." And what? "Bring an offering and come unto His courts." We'll look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2 a little bit more here in just a moment. "But upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Part of our worship each and every Lord's Day is giving to God. You know, we've tried to stress this in our worship services, and I hope it's exceedingly clear that the offering is not something we just tack on. The offering is not just something where we collect a little bit of money so we can pay the bills. The offering is just as much a part of our worship to God as our singing is and the preaching of the Word of God is, our listening to the Word of God. It's part of our worship. And we have tried to stress repeatedly that we are giving as unto God. Not just Birds Terrace Baptist Church. That my spirit and my attitude needs to be, God, out of a heart of gratefulness, out of a heart of joy, out of a heart of gladness, I'm giving to You and I am worshiping You today. That should be our spirit, a spirit of worship when we're giving to our God. So why do we give? It's to worship. And secondly, a significant part of our worship is to support ministry, to support others, particularly those in ministry. Now, this is a text that I have mentioned multiple times, particularly when we have a guest from out of town. We have a guest speaker or someone ministering here. This is Galatians 6:6. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." When you are the recipient of someone faithfully and accurately and rightly expositing the word of God, that would be you and me. When we have that occasion, let him that is taught in the word communicate. There needs to be a mutual sharing. There needs to be a mutual giving. You have received something and you are going to give something back to that individual. In all good things, the text says. And that would include appreciation. That would include a thankful heart. That would include financial support, and certainly prayer. That we have a God-given responsibility to support those who minister to us the truth of the Word of God. Then we find in the book of Philippians, and we'll get to this text on a Sunday evening before too awfully long here as we're going through the book of Philippians on Sunday evenings. But Philippians 4, 15 and 16, Paul says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church," again we find this word, "communicated, gave, shared with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." The church planter Paul, the missionary Paul, was exceedingly grateful for the Philippian believers who once, he says, and again, more than once, they said, "Hey, we don't have a lot, but we're going to support you, Paul. We're for you." It wasn't that they just patted him on the back and said, "Hey, we're praying for you." But they gave to help the ministry of Paul, ultimately the kingdom of God, to expand. Why do we give? In part, it's to support ministry. Support those who are in ministry. Those who are giving the gospel. So as a church, we can see the expansion of the gospel and God's work here in Indianapolis and around the world. It takes dollars to do that. And I've shared with you in days gone by how I have a vision for the future down the road of how God can use us more in those areas as we have resources to do so. But folks, it's got to be far more than just about if I have, you know, extras of what can I do for myself. But we also need to be looking at and considering what can I do for God's work? How can I help? Who can I support? I can't tell you how many missionaries that I get calls from every week. Every week, who want to come and present their ministry here at our church. Literally, and I'm not exaggerating by this, I think I could fill up every service with a missionary who's looking for support. Now, that would not be right or proper. But there's got to be some out there that we could support, that we could add on, that we could take on, that we could be a part of their ministry. I'm so thankful for what we already do. So thankful for the fact that in this last year, our fiscal year, we gave over $110,000 to missions. Praise God for that. Not saying that proudly or boastfully, but I just praise God that He allowed us to do that. And that our missionaries, we're endeavoring them for them not just to be a name on a wall, a picture on a wall, a picture in the bulletin every so often, but that we're partnering with them. They're part of us and we're part of them. And that as they minister in China and New Zealand and Australia and various parts of this world, that is an extension of Burge Terrace Baptist Church, and that we're giving to meet the needs of God's work around this world. That needs to be our thinking and our mentality of why do we give? To meet needs of those who minister, but also it's to meet needs of those who have needs. Of the poor. Deuteronomy 15. "If there be any among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth." Psalm 41:1. "Blessed is he that considereth the poor." Proverbs 14 and verse 31. "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor." It's honoring to God when we help those in need. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Isn't that a great verse? You know, the meaning, the idea of that verse is that when we give to somebody who has need, it's just as if we're lending it to the Lord. And the Lord says, "You know what, I'll repay you again." And again, that's not our motive. It's not why we give. But God is so faithful to bless giving. When we see needs of other people, that we generously, sacrificially, abundantly reach out to meet those needs. One last verse in this area, 1 John 3 and verse 17. "But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It's contrary to a true, genuine believer not to give to those who are in need. It's a character of God, and we are exemplifying the character of God when we generously give to people who have needs. And it's not just us looking the other way. It's not acting like we don't know, but we're giving what we can to help other people. So why do we give? We give to worship our God. We give to support ministry. We give to help those who have genuine, legitimate needs. One last major area I want to cover this morning is how should we give? How should we give? What should our giving look like? I want us to, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. I'll give you a little context for the passage that we'll look at here as well as in 2 Corinthians. As we well know, in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached and 3,000 individuals trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. If we fast forward to chapter 4, we find that 5,000 men trusted Christ. I would believe there were certainly women and children who would add to that number. So what's happening to the Church of Jerusalem? It's exponentially exploding. It's growing by leaps and bounds. Hard for us to get our head around if, you know, several thousand people got saved here in Indianapolis, and all of a sudden next Sunday we have several thousand extra people trying to get into our building. It'd be a great problem to have, wouldn't it? Great, great problem to try and figure out. But the Church of Jerusalem is scrambling. Many of these individuals have come for the Pentecost, the feast that was being observed there. Many of them were poor. There is really only one church at this time, and it's at Jerusalem. And so many of them, to get the teaching from the apostles, to get Christian fellowship, there's really nowhere else to go, and in many cases no reason to go back home, and so they stay in Jerusalem. All of a sudden the church has an issue to deal with, and they're scrambling, trying to help these poor individuals who have stayed and trying to do their best to meet the needs of these folks. And the best that they can do, they're coming up short. And Paul realizes, hey, we've got to get some help. And so he's requesting some help from the Macedonian churches. That would be Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea. He's saying, hey, can you help us? And he's giving some instruction here in his letter to the Corinthian people of, hey, this is what I want you to do. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, it's the churches I just mentioned to you, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. So in the instructions that Paul is giving regarding this particular offering that's being collected for the church at Jerusalem, I believe there's great principles about giving that we can gather. And the first one is to give collectively. How should we give? We should give collectively. Say, what do you mean by that? Let every one of you. It's all inclusive. Not respective of your economic status. But everyone is participating. Collectively, we are giving as part of our worship to meet ministry needs, to meet the needs of the poor. We are giving as a collective unit. It's not just a few specified here and there, but that we're all involved. And secondly, that we are giving locally. Locally. Let him lay by him in store. Literally, each one of you by himself lay up or store up is the idea. Now, this is not this is a bit of a foreign concept for us in our culture. But in this day, it was very common for some of the largest depositories of treasures, money, and really a banking system was connected with the temples. that there was a secure place where they stored the money. So in the minds of these Corinthian believers, they would automatically, in the idea of store up, think of, hey, I'm bringing my money as part of my worship when I go to worship God, and it's going to be part of the collection that's stored up or left there at the temple. That's how they would think, and that was the connection that would be made. So for us, the connection would be, our giving needs to be primarily to our church. You say, Pastor Todd, are you saying I can't give anywhere else? No. I'm not here to legislate what you give to or how you give. That's not my place. You say, is it okay to give to other ministries and so forth? Absolutely, as God would direct you. But I think first and foremost, it's very clear from Scripture that our first priority needs to be giving to your local church. That's a priority. It's local giving. It's giving to the assembly to which you belong, the assembly where you're serving, the assembly where God's work is being accomplished. That's where your primary source of giving needs to be. If God blesses you and directs you to give resources elsewhere, that's between you and the Lord. But your first and primary source of giving or focus of giving needs to be with the local church. And then thirdly, that we need to give proportionately. Proportionately. In this text, it says, as God hath prospered him. Do we all give the same amount? No. Does God want us all to give the same amount? No. That we give as God has prospered us. Now, as we looked at well over a year ago, and I did a little series on giving, that we discovered from the Word of God that there is not an exacting percentage that God requires from us, but that He requires that we give as He has prospered us. That's Bible. And when we think about it, I don't care who you are here this morning, I don't care what the needs you have, God has prospered us abundantly, has He not? Abundantly God has prospered us, and out of that abundance and that prosperity that God has placed in us and upon us, that we are to give out of a heart of love and gratefulness to our God. It's not about that we all give the same thing. We give as God has prospered us. And if you would go over to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll continue our discovery of how we should give. 2 Corinthians 8. And verse 1. I want us to note that we should give sacrificially. Sacrificially. Let's look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And again, this is talking about this offering, this collection for the church at Jerusalem. And Paul is saying this, that they gave in the midst of a great trial. In much or many is the idea of great. Points to the extreme nature of their situation. This trial, it was like a test. And he mentions affliction. Literally the word refers to the squeezing or the smashing of grapes. Metaphorically, it's talking about being in a high-pressure, high-stress situation. It was like being in a bench vise, and they were just getting cranked on. They were under pressure. And in spite of all of that was going on in their lives, they gave, and they gave abundantly. In the great trial of affliction, and he mentions their deep poverty. Deep is the idea that they hit rock bottom. One commentator says it's down to the depth. Poverty. Let's be honest. Most of us don't know what that's like. Most of us don't have a clue what down to the depth poverty really looks like. Poverty describes one who has almost nothing. There's a related word in the New Testament that describes the blind, describes the lame. It describes in the book of Mark a destitute widow, and it describes Lazarus the beggar. Down to the depth poverty, almost having nothing. You know, if we adopt the mentality that when I get a little bit more, I'll give. It won't happen. I promise you it won't happen. That God wants us to give proportionately out of our need. God wants us to give Him of the first fruits. Not that we say, okay, I'll pay all the bills and I'll do this, and if I got a little left over, I'll give something to God. God wants it off the top. He wants the first fruits, and therefore by doing that, we're trusting Him to meet our needs. But God is the one whom we give to sacrificially out of our need. And in verse 3, Paul says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power." He said, it's incredible what they gave out of a position of affliction, out of a position of pressure, out of a position of great need. He said, it just would blow you away what these believers gave to help the need of other believers that they had never met. That was their idea, to give sacrificially. Of course, we're familiar with the story in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 12. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their," what? "Abundance. But she of her want did she cast in all that she had, even all her living." She threw in 2 mites, which was a farthing. It was 1/16 of what the common person would make in a daily wage. It was a pittance of what most people would make in any given day. That's all she had. There was, of course, outside the temple, those 13 trumpet-like containers. It made for ostentatious giving by those who so desired, and they would come publicly and just kind of give in a very prideful, sometimes ostentatious way. She just simply came up and she put in a very, very meager amount, and because it was all that she had, Jesus said, in essence, she gave more. She gave out of sacrifice than what was given by those who gave out of abundance. A couple more thoughts and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, they gave generously. They gave generously. It says that they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. It overflowed in abundance. Riches there is really the idea of spiritual riches. That they were rich spiritually, and their giving was a reflection of that, and it was an abundant giving. And liberality is the idea of sincerity. That there was no hypocrisy there. That they weren't doing it to be ostentatious or noticed. That they were doing it out of a sincere heart and just giving generously unto God first and foremost, and to others to meet the need. And then they gave willingly. They gave willingly. Look at the end of verse 3. And they were willing of themselves. Willingly. Paul wasn't twisting arms. He wasn't beating people over the head. He wasn't putting high pressure on. This wasn't a high pressure sales job. He just said, look, here's the need. Can you give? And they gave willingly. And notice verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Praying is the idea of begging, pleading, with much insistence. Now put this in context. These people are being persecuted. They're under a great trial, a great affliction. They're dirt poor, we might say. And they are literally begging Paul, please, please, please let us give. That's amazing. When is the last time you have begged someone, hey, can I give? Please? Please, can I give? That's exactly the heart of these folks. They were begging Paul to participate in this particular offering. They were giving willingly. They were giving generously. And finally, let's notice that they gave cheerfully. Gave cheerfully. Go over to chapter 9 and verse 7. We find this verse that most of us are familiar with. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. As he purposeth in his heart, it's predetermination, it's planning. Our giving should not be casual, it should not be careless. It should be planned. It should be purposeful. And he says, not grudgingly. The word grudgingly has the idea of sorrow, pain, or grief. Put it right down to where we live. God says there should be no groaning when the offering plate passes. You know, that shouldn't be our spirit. No groaning when the offering plate passes, that it should be a cheerful spirit, a joyful spirit, that we find it a blessing to give to God. He says, not out of necessity, not out of compulsion, not out of obligation, but one who is cheerful. And of course, we know that to be the Greek word where we get our English word hilarious. That there is an abundant amount of joy, there's abundant amount of gratitude, there's abundant amount of praise in our heart, and we truly find it a joy. When you come to the Lord's Day every week, do you find it a joy to give? Or would you have to be honest and say, well, it's a little out of obligation, I feel a little pressure, I feel, okay, God, I'll do it. That shouldn't be our spirit. Our spirit should be, hey, I am so thankful that I get to give to God. What a blessing that is, that we are cheerful givers. God desires a happy, joyful, cheerful giver. Now, here in just a moment, we have the opportunity to participate in our Thanksgiving offering. Now, hear carefully what I'm going to say, all right? I did not preach this morning because I'm asking for your money, all right? In essence, God doesn't need your money. Don't let that sink in. God doesn't need your money. But God, first and foremost, desires you. And He desires me. That out of a heart of love, we simply say, God, I'm yours. And when that takes place, God uses our resources to get His work done. And God wants us to give locally. He wants us to give collectively. He wants us to give proportionately and sacrificially. He wants us to give generously. He wants us to give willingly. He wants us to give cheerfully. And don't miss this. Out of a heart of worship, in an endeavor to see His work accomplished. That's why we're given today. And I trust that's your heart and your spirit in giving here in just a few moments. The essence of giving. Father, I thank You that Your Word is incredibly clear about giving. We want to praise You and thank You this morning, O Father, for being the originator of giving. And Lord, I thank You that we exemplify Your character when we give. Lord, I pray that as we give here in a few moments and as we give every Lord's Day, that it would be out of a heart of worship to You, our God. It would just be a means by which we praise You and honor You and worship You and give unto You. Lord, help us to see it as a means by which ministry gets done. How we can support ministry and those in ministry, and that we can help those who have genuine needs. And oh God, I pray that we would view our giving as You view it. And that we would give in a way that You would want us to give, and that it would be locally, that it would be collectively, that we would all be participating, that it would be with a spirit of sacrifice and generosity and just a willingness in our heart, and that there would be a cheerfulness, a joy, a true gratitude in our giving. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for the opportunity to give to You out of our resources today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.